Hi, this is Juan Soto with IT Impact. With me today is
Andy Tabis, WorkSmart Database Masters.
And so today we're talking about Access Kung Fu, because our Kung Fu is strong. And so it's basically a video on topics, on tips and tricks in Access. And we, over the years, we've accumulated these a lot. And so we're going to share them with you today. But before we do that, we want to let you know that this is brought to you by AccessUserGroups.org. It's a virtual user group organization where you meet online throughout the month. Once a month, if you belong to one group in particular, Andy heads up the Access Web Apps in Michigan group. I head up the Access User and Access with SQL Server group. There's other groups there, such as Access Lunchtime and Access Spain and Excellent America, which are both in Spanish. So we hope that you go to accessusergroups.org and join the group today so that you can see what the schedule is and participate. And let's talk about Access in terms of, oh, by the way, before we get started, I also want to let you know my contact information. So you can reach me at jsoto@itimpact.com. Andy, you can reach at?
Andy@worksmartdb.com, DB like database.
So you can link with me at linkedin.com/n/juansoto. I'd love to accept your invitation. My expertise is Access with SQL Server, and my Twitter handle is jsoto22. So I'm not an expert in SQL Server, but I am an expert in Access with SQL Server. All right, great. So one of the things that I want to do now is talk to you a little bit about how this is going to work. Basically, what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring up Microsoft Access and give you a series of tips on how I use Access, and Andy will chime in throughout the presentation as well. And we love Access. You know, I like to say we make Access sing and dance. And so as part of that, we've been working many years. I've been working since version 2. I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, version 2.0. Back in 93, 94.
Yes. And so there's a lot of, I consider myself a 10 belt Don, you know, in Access Kung Fu here. And Andy too. So we will see if today we can show you some neat tricks. And let's get started. So here is our report generator. It's a product that you can purchase off our website at accessexperts.com. So you have this Access database that you're working on. The first thing I want to show you, and these are quick tips, but you can pause the video and rewind it, is Control G. So if you hold down the Control key, press G, that takes you to the immediate window, which is this area at the bottom of the screen. Now there's other ways to get to the IDE. That's what this is called, Integrated Development Environment. I like to go straight to with Control G. I always remember it. So Control G as in go. Now I want to talk to you about this handy window. It's really wonderful what you can do here. For example, I can ask Access how much is 2 and minus 3, and then press enter. And it tells me the right answer, minus 1. So you can do simple math on here, right, and be able to check. The other aspect of this, I can ask it for different functions. So I can say, what is today's date, right? So there's a function called date. It gives me the right date. So by using question mark, you can then test code and quest test functions. A lot of you may use the message box function, right? So for example, I can type in MSG box and I press space and it gives me these prompts here. So I'm just going to do hello world and close that up. And then when I do comma, notice there are these constants that are in Access, right? VB abort, retry, ignore, VB critical. I'll just use VB okay, cancel, and then I'll just press enter, and that launches the message box. So as you can see, I can invoke functions from the media window to test things out. So I'll click on okay. Now, if I would have wrapped this as a question mark, right, so I use MSG box, you can use MSG box as a subroutine or as a function. And so in this case, I use it as a subroutine, did not return a result back to me. If I do question mark and then wrap this in parentheses and then press enter, you'll see that, again, the same thing, hello world, when I click on OK, it replies back with the number 1. And what is that? Well, first of all, if you, I know what it is. Number 1 is VB OK. So if I do VB OK, press enter, I get the same thing, number 1, right? So one is the value of VBOK. So if you ever had a function where an if statement, right? If hello world VBOK equal to VBOK, right? And then press enter, it launches the box, I'll press OK, and now notice that it returns true. So because my question was, did I say OK in the message box? If I don't say OK, so I'll run it again, I press enter. If I say cancel, for example, now I get false, right? So you can use these constants in your code. VBOK is the way you want to do it because of the fact that when you say, you could say equal one, right? I can do the same thing. I can say equal one, click on OK, and it does me the same thing. It gives me the same true, but it's not easier to read in your code, right? So you want to make sure that you can read in your code and write code that's easier for anybody else to understand. So if I press Control A for all, I can then delete everything and I'm back to a clean slate. Wonderful, wonderful stuff here in the immediate window. So I can check functions, I can do math, I can do... Now, one of the things I learned when I first started with Access is the values of variables, how they initialize. And it's something I always emphasize when I hire new employees, because we have a consulting firm that does just Access. You know, I want them to understand how variables are initialized. And so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to start a new module here, insert module. And then here I'm going to do option explicit. And option explicit means what, Andy?
Just that you have to have the correct terms in all of your code.
So I'm going to say public function test. Open parentheses, close parentheses, and then it automatically does the end function for me. And then I'm going to say dim I as long, which is long integer. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say dim strsql as string. And then here I'm going to say I equal 100. And I'm going to say strsql equal high. Now, I can just run it from here by pressing FA because it's a public module, or I can invoke it down here. I'll just go ahead and invoke it down here, question mark test. And I'm going to insert a breakpoint at the beginning of this code block, and then when I press test, it'll start with that. And I have another test in the database, so let me just do the test 322, which is today's date. And let me do the test 322 here. All right, so now it stops here at the first line. When I press FA to get to the first dim statement, I can then hover my mouse over the variable. Right now, this is a zero, and I can do strsql. So here, this tells you and it teaches you that variables that are defined as long integer initialize at zero.
Yes, it begins at zero.
All right. So here, if I do question mark, see, the next thing is I can go to the media window here, and I can say question mark I is 0, right? So if I press F8, and then I do the same thing, question mark I, now it's, I have to press F8, excuse me. Let me do that.
And yeah, F8 basically just takes you from the one function, or the one command to the next command.
Yes, it's like a debug to debug. So notice there the value went from 0 to 100 because I assigned a value. But another time, sometimes when I'm in the program, I need to be able to give it a different value just for testing purposes, right? And I don't want to change my code, so that's what I'll do next. I'm going to say I equal 50 now. I equal 50. All right, and now when I do question mark I, the value is 50, and when I hover my mouse over I, it says 50. So it's just a great way to change your variables values and then maybe when for debug purposes and not have to worry about code. Cause sometimes you change your code for testing and you don't realize this and you implement production and then it's embarrassing because your customer calls you up and says, hey, this thing is defaulting to 50 all the time. What's up with that?
That's very good. You know, I've never done it where I've set a parameter in the immediate window and then use it up above the code.
It's a great tip.
It makes total sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And this will work with any variable, right? So for example, if I come in here and I do question mark strsql, I haven't assigned a value to it, and what actually return is an empty string. If you look on, if you click up here at the top now, SJS equals empty string. That's not the same thing as null. So I want to make sure you make sure we understand each other. If I say, for example, ask the compiler, is STR SQL equal to empty string, I get true. If STR SQL, however, if I ask it, is it null, and I press enter, I get a type as match because it's not string, right? So it's not the same thing, right? And VB, so VB null is not the same thing as true as empty string. Cool. Just want to clarify that point. So now here I can do the same thing. I can say, I'm going to press FI up here. I'm going to say FI, excuse me. And assign a value to it. Oh, I'm using my Mac here. Let's see, F8. Okay. Now, if I ask it for the value of STR SQL, it's high, but I can also change that to goodbye, right? And now when I hover up here, well, I actually, see, notice, by the way, what I did was I did not change the value of the variable because I had that question mark in there. I actually asked the compiler, is STR SQL equal to goodbye? The compiler said no, STR SQL is high, so that's false. So I'm going to get rid of this question mark, and now I'm going to press enter, right? And when I press enter, it returns the value of goodbye. And let me just get rid of all this out of here so you can see that. All right, so I assigned the value goodbye. Now when I ask it, if I hover over here at the top, you'll see goodbye there, right? And if I ask it this, yes, equal to goodbye, I press enter, I get true. So it's just a wonderful way to be able to tell what your variables are initialized to, what the current value is, and reassign them. Just one of the wonders of the media window. Another quick tip for you is sometimes I need to use a clipboard. Now, everybody's got their favorite snippets of code, but sometimes I just need a quick place to store information, right, so I can reuse it, especially when I use the same argument. Like, for example, I'm modifying 10 queries in my code, and they all have a slightly similar where clause. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to save that where clause. Now, usually in the old days, I would save in Notepad, but, you know, nice thing about this immediate window, you can use it as a scratch pass. So here, for example, I can say, double quote DTE today, right? The variable DTE today equal, and then ampersand, you know, date. So this is like a piece of code, and basically what I'll do is I'll highlight it and then copy it, right? Now, if I'm dealing with queries, my next tip is how you can incorporate queries into your Access database. But sometimes a query doesn't have this variable, right? When you design a query in the Access front end and bring it over, so I'll just paste that into my query up here, right? So if I say select star from TBL criteria, mm-hmm. right? And then I'll say close that with double quote and then append it with my where clause. Now I'll go and I'll get a query and I come back and paste it, and then I've already written that, so I already have a memory, right? So I can paste it as many times as I want, Control V, mm-hmm. if I need to. But be having it down here in the media window means I can quickly select it and then Control C, copy it, and then paste it there. So this is just another handy way of using the media window. Mm-hmm. The next thing I'm gonna do is I'm gonna bring up a query here. And let's say, for example, I have this query that I want to incorporate in my code. So once you design the query, right, most likely when you design your query, you're going to put it here in design view, and you see the table at the top and all this time I've been showing you my face instead of the actual code. Sorry about that. This is the paste code here. I'm a little frazzled now. This is what I was pasting before I was showing you guys here. But I would paste it on my STR SQL up here, right? But my other aspect of this is here I have this query. Once I design the query, I want to use it in my code. So I right-click here and select SQL View and then press Control C because I'm a keyboard warrior. Control G takes me to my IDE. And now I can paste that query here into my line of code. So I'm going to come in here, I'm going to say STR SQL equal And I'll just paste that in there. So my Kung Fu is strong, but my presentation skills need some working on. All right, and so here, as you can see, there's a radio wear clause there that's hard-coded, right, to number 4. And I can't tell you how many times that's happened to me where I hard-code criteria on a query. So you gotta always be careful, but more importantly is that, and this, because I have the program running, it wants to restart it, so I'll say okay to that. More importantly, I want my SQL quotes to look great in my code so I can easily debug it later, right? So I'll use the double quote space ampersand space underscore to continue that line to the next one here, and then I'll press tab, tab, double quote, and then go to the end of this. And then the same thing, space, double quote, space, ampersand, space, underscore. And there's a lot of lines here, so what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna copy this. I'm gonna press Control C, go into the next line, press tab, double quote, and then go to the end of that line, and just paste in the termination, which is double quote, just paste it in there, right? Double quote, and then space, ampersand, underscore, and continue doing this, right? So it's just a wonderful way where you can just paste your way through to make sure this query looks great in your code. And we do this all the time, right, Andy?
Absolutely.
You use queries in your code all the time.
Absolutely.
So any Access developer worth their salt should know this already by now. But now that I have this in here, now notice that I've got the 4 in here, right? So what you want to do is you want to replace that 4 with a variable. So what I do is I paste my where clause, and then I'll address that later. So I'll come in here and I'll say double quote, ampersand, space, space, ampersand, double quote. And now I include a variable here, right? So for example, I. And now when I click off this string, long string, now it's replaced it with a variable. So to replace a variable in your query, you want to use the double quote with the ampersands and then the variable name and do that, right? But sometimes you have a single quote that is in your SQL statement a double quote that is in your SQL statement that throws you off for this query. So if you ever need to use double quote in a SQL statement like this, you want to surround it by double quotes. So it's a double quote, double quote, double quote, double quote, double quote, right? So I'll try that now. Let's see if this worked for me. So I'll go to the media window. Again, let's go ahead and try the media window, right? So I want to say, okay, I want to be able to produce, right? If I say double quote, hi, and double quote, and I press enter, it shows me hi. But I want high with surrounded by double quotes. So I'm going to come back up here, and I'm going to do 2 double quotes at the beginning of that and 2 double quotes at the end of that. 2 double quotes in the beginning and 2 double quotes in the end. And I press enter, and now I've got, actually I didn't need the 2 double quotes. I got 2 double quotes around my high, so let me get rid of 2 of these. And 2 of these. And now I got my high surrounded by double quotes. So you want to make sure how you can do these things. And they're not, it's not like you can't search for it on Google, right? You can search for these tips on Google. But I like this session because it brings it all together for you, especially when you're learning out for the first time how to use the IDE. Another aspect of the coding in a VBA module is sometimes you'll be at the end of a long day and you want to go back to where you left off, right? So say for example, I'm here, I'm still not done. What I'll do is at the end of my journey for today, I'll go in here, I'll put a continue here, and then I'm going to spell continue correctly. And then of course it's going to error out if I try running it. The purpose is not to run it, the purpose is to know where I left off. So then I'll close my Access database. Do you want to save module 1? I'll say yes. And I'll say MDL test too. Give it a name for my module. And then it's right there because I closed it. But if I were to close this window here, let me close the window here. I'm this other for code. I press Control F and then current project. And then type in continue here. and then find next, I quickly locate where I was just last time, right? Now the reason being is when you bookmark it, it doesn't save it from one night to the next, right? It doesn't save it. So you can use the bookmark property if you're in need of a quick location, right? If I use the bookmark property here, I can go to that bookmark, right? So if I come in here to another procedure, say for example this other one, and I also bookmark it here as well. Now I got two bookmarks, and then when I click on next bookmark, it toggles between the two procedures. Well, those bookmarks disappear. It's something that I always lamented, is that Access doesn't save it with your code. So I use the continue here for two reasons. Number one, when I compile it before I turn it to the customer, I forget to eliminate the continue here. Right. It was out, and then I know exactly where they're at, and I delete them. And number two, it's a quick way to just get to it next time. And so you can do a continue here, continue whatever works for you, right? Or whatever non-standard verbiage you want to use for that. All right, so when I do a debug compile, it should error out my continue here, which it does. As you can see here, and I'll close that out. I always recommend you use option explicit. Just a good programming habit to declare all your variables. What option explicit means is that it will force you to declare your variables, like Andy said. So there is an option in the general tab in Access where it defaults to option explicit in all your modules. When you're dealing with queries, sometimes in my case, I need to see what connection string was used for a particular table, right? So for example, I'll come in here and I want to be able to connect to a SQL Server table in a pass-through query, and I need to know what that connection string is. So you notice I have this Excel spreadsheet that's been tied into this database with a link to the spreadsheet. And if I press double click, it just opens that spreadsheet. This is data. It's not imported, but rather linked to a spreadsheet, right? If I want to see what the connection string was for that table, I can press Control G, and I can do question mark current DB dot table defs. So table def is a collection of all the tables in a database. And then I do the name of the table, right? Test data. And then end it with a parenthesis. And then I do a dot connect. And the dot connect property is the one that gives you the, make sure I got the right test link. All right, it's not test data, it's test link. The connect property is what gives you the connection properties of that link. So if I come in here and press enter, I get my connection information, which I then later can use. If we're a SQL Server table, I can use it as a pass-through query in Access. I don't have to go searching for what the right parameters are. So it's a wonderful way. So CurrentDB is the current database, and then TableDef is a collection of tables. And so one of the things that people get most confused about is collections in Access. And I always tell prospective employees, know your collections first before you start coding, what the collections are, how did they work in Access. And there's two major collections, there's several major collections that we use. The table dev collection is a collection of all tables in a database. And usually what I do when I interview people is I ask them, table dev is only open tables in the database. Yep, and that's wrong. It actually consists of all the tables in a database.
Right.
So here I'm going to show you some neat tricks with the table dev collection. The table dev collection has a property that will actually count all the tables, right? So if I do dot count, and every collection has this property, the count property, but I can use it to count the tables. This includes hidden tables, system tables for Access as well. But it does give you a sense of how big the application is, right? So dot count property is good. The other thing is you need to learn how to reference collections from their index number. Now, Access uses these collections as zero base. So the first table in the collection is zero. So if I say open parenthesis zero, close parenthesis dot name, which is a property every object in Access has, the name property, I press enter, the first table is customers. So if I come over here and I look in the front end and I go to the table collection, object type, and then switch that to tables, you'll see indeed that's the first table in Access, right? So the zero represents one, And one would be the second one in the collection and so forth. So table deaths, when you're dealing with collections, you got to understand that, right? The first element, many times, there are exceptions, but for the most part, they're zero-based. So the first element in the collection is zero. Why do we need that? Well, sometimes you have a record set that's pointing to a table, and you need to be able to, and you don't know the field names. Or you need to be able to, for example, use a field name in a report. You can reference that field name by iterating through the field collection of the record set and seeing what they are. Another one we use it for, and this is my next tip also, is the tag property, where you iterate through the objects in a form using the for each, and then you can then use that tag property for do specific things. So I'm going to show you how that works. I'm going to go back to my database here, and I'm going to show you this report generator form that we use. So let's go ahead and switch to forms now, or custom. You know, a lot of times people don't have this search button here. You to get this search, all you have to do is right click and select search from the menu here, search bar. That's a great tip. I love using the search bar all the time. All right, so here I'm going to bring up FRM report generator. And this is just a product that we saw on our website that allows you to pick reports. Now notice that when as I pick a report, these criteria appear and disappear. And the way we do that is we use the tag property. So if I put this in design view, you'll actually see that all the criteria are there, all the possible criteria. And when I select that object on the form and go into other, you'll notice that there's this tag property. This tag property is for the programmer. It means nothing to Microsoft Access other than you can use that to further define your objects in the development environment. We use it to identify it as a object that's a criteria on our form. And the reason being is when we select the report over here, we iterate through all the objects in our database and we only turn off and turn on those that are criteria. So let me show you that code. If I go to the event code here, and you have to update event, you'll see is I have the set criterias module. When I go set criterias, it actually iterates through all the collections in the form, right? So every form has a controls collection, and so there the form has a control 1, control 2, control 3. So this form consists of many controls, right? It has this list box here. It has this label there. These are labels. You don't want to act upon stuff that you don't need. And so the tiebreaker there is to be able to say, okay, if the tag property of that control is criteria, then okay, now let's find out if that criteria is valid for that report, and then go in there, turn it on or off, make it visible or not visible. In this case, we set them all to invisible so that we can then define which ones should be visible. So use the tag property for whatever you need. Sometimes you may have a case where the administrator of the database is the one that can see certain buttons. And so, for example, I can pick this button here, go into the tag property, right, and I can say admin. And now that it's got the tag admin, when I launch a form, if the user is an admin, I can make all those objects visible by default. If they're not an admin, I'll turn all those objects invisible. So it's just a wonderful way to turn things on and off based on what you need. And I see some complex tag properties in my day. A lot of people use it in complex schemes where the first digit means something, the second digit means another thing, and so forth. It all depends on what your needs are, right? And so you can use tag along with the controls collection to do some wonderful stuff on the form. So the controls collection is another collection that access. There's a query depths collection, which is every query in the database, regardless if it's open or not. But the forms collection is a little different. It only shows you those forms that are loaded in memory. Right now, I got one form. So if I go back to Control-G, and I ask it, let me just go ahead and delete all this. And let me just show you my screen again. And then I say, okay, how many forms do I have open, right? So I do forms.count. I only got one form. I have more than one form in the database. So if I go back here and I open another form in memory, right? So this form, for example, and now I got two forms open. When I press Control G and ask it for the number of forms open, now I got two forms. And if I want to know which one's the first one that was open, I would go to Forms, open parentheses 0.name, and then that's the report generator. And then the second one would be 1, right? Because it's zero based. Why is this important? Well, sometimes you need to, for example, close all the forms with a button. And the only way you're going to be able to do that is doing a for each loop and iterating through all the forms in the database and then closing them out. But knowing the object model in Axis is going to make you a much more powerful programmer. And that's the bottom line. Andy and I both learned Axis well so that we can really make a sing and dance. And the only way you're going to do that is understanding how the object model works. So to recap, you got a table depth collection. That's all the tables in the database. You got a forms collection. It's only open forms. You got a query collection. It's all the queries in the database. And then you know, other objects have collections too. So a record set, for example, has a fields collection. And sometimes you do a crosstab query, and you don't know the column names because crosstab, say for example I do analysis from January 1st to today, March 22nd, I'm only going to get January, February, March as my columns. Well, if I do the analysis in June, I'm going to get January through June. But I don't know that when I execute the code. So when I create code, I need to iterate through the fields in that record set. So let's try that next. This is going to be our last exercise. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to create a record set here. Right, and then I'm going to set the record set to a particular table. Right, so I'm going to say set RST equal current DB dot open record set TBL customers. And then I'm going to use the width RST. And then every time I start a block, I always want to end it right away because that way I won't forget. So I'll do end width right away. And I'm going to say, okay, now that I've got this, I'm going to iterate through each field name. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to need an object variable. So I'm going to say dim obj as object, which is a generic object table. I mean, objects form variable. And now I'm going to execute that query. I'm going to say for each obj in dot fields of that record set, and then finish that with next obj. And I'm going to tell it just to print it to the immediate window. So debug.print obj.name. So here in the immediate window, I'm going to clear this out. When I then execute this code, I'm going to first look at the customer table. I'm going to make sure I understand the code is working correctly. Always know the answer before you ask the question. I tell my students when I was teaching before Axis. So here I got 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 columns. So now I'm going to go ahead and execute this. We'll go back to Control G. And I'm going to press F8 to start this off. There it is. I execute my query. And it's not TBL customers, it's customers. Let me change that. Now that I've got that, I'm going to stop right there. And I'm going to ask it, okay, how many fields are in the column, the column field collection? How many fields do we have in that table? Right? And there it is, 18. That's not the right number, right? Because I counted 18 in the table. And now it's going to iterate through each one of those fields, give me the field name. So I'm going to come over here and then come over here and then press F8 to go each one of these. There's ID, the first column, and the company and class name. So now I've got a wonderful way to be able to address each column, right? You know, most 99.9% of the times, we are using the actual column name in that query in our code, right? We're going to say RST dot or bank customer name, right? Or RST dot field open parentheses double quote the name of the field.
Right.
Sometimes you don't know. And so it's a few times throughout my career I've had to use the field collection or the record set object to be able to iterate and do things with that.
Absolutely.
And usually it's when the cross-type queries. So that's it for me. I hope that you've enjoyed this trek through my Kung Fu, which at some point I slipped and fell when I was doing some kicks, but hey, for the most part, it came out fine. Andy, thank you very much for joining me.
Yeah, do you want to talk about?
Yes, by the way, we got raffling this little guy here. Raffling this little guy here. When you have tension like I have now, I can squeeze it and be able to do it. So if you want to win one of these guys, what you need to do is tweet about this video. The first person who tweets about the video tomorrow night, I'll mail this to you, Continental U.S. only. Mm-hmm. No employees of IT Impact or
Rick Smart Database Masters.
Or neither Microsoft. But everybody mm-hmm. else, please tweet about this video, and we would love to have you join us next time.
You bet.
Here on Channel 9.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you very much, guys.